turn up the champagne, pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up.
Hear a knock on the door and the night begins.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in Berea, Dave DiNatale with us as well, Jason Gibbs here in Berea downstairs. We will have Sashi Brown's press conference for you at 2 o'clock. The Browns general manager addressed the media earlier today. We will have head coach Hugh Jackson, the leader of the Hugh World Order, live in studio with us around 1:30 today. We should also be able to bring you RG3 and Josh McCown's press conferences today. So a lot of sound coming out of Berea today as the team wrapped up its voluntary mini camp, which was attended, very well attended by everybody except for a couple people who were able to become fathers in the recent weeks, Raheem Moore, Dez Bryant, and Joe Thomas. So the Browns wrapped it up today, and Matt, you were out there. You got to see it firsthand. I've gotten to see each of the last two practices firsthand. What were your big takeaways from what you saw out there?
And again, this was my first opportunity. This is your second opportunity, I believe, right?
Yep.
To be out there at practice. And I'm just going to really reiterate a lot of what you saw. I thought there's a lot of energy and a lot of tempo, both out of the players and out of the coaches, which is always a very, very good thing, which means the standing around, you know, it's the efficiency has been cranked up to a new level.
It does not seem like it is going to be a country club training camp.
It does not. And even more so, another point that you made, I believe, on Wednesday, yesterday's show, was that the amount of coaching that's going on.
Unbelievable.
And for you and I, you know, we have the luxury, as a few other media members were out there as well, we're just a tidbit closer and in some cases have better relationships with some of the coaches. So, you know, we're 2 yards off the sideline. So you're hearing the conversations that are happening between player and coach, and it's they're conveying the message very clear, and I think the players are very receptive to the coaching, because anyone on this Browns roster that feels like they've got it figured out is not going to be a Cleveland Brown for very long.
No. The level of coaching, constant coaching, the level of energy, enthusiasm from the staff, I mean, just kind of the hands-on nature, it's a culture shock to me. Again, I've only been here for Rob Chudzinski and Mike Pettine. They had their styles. This is a completely different style than I've seen, and I like it. It seems like the players like it too. There's a lot of hard coaching, but it's all positive at the end of the day.
It is, and I think that right now, this is a getting to know each other phase, because there are going to be some times where, you know, either a coach or a player may not be as receptive to the way that they're spoken to about a certain issue, and that'll be handled like grown men. But for right now, it just looks like a young roster excited to go out to work.
Yeah.
And in some cases, and this can be, you know, any facet of life, those entrepreneurs or those business owners or those individuals that just put their head down and go to work, you don't realize the strides or how far you actually get when you just put your head down and go to work. If you're too busy, you know, stroking your ego, worried about your contract, worried about what another team's doing, worried about what we're going to do in the draft, put your head down and go to work. And I think that is something that that Hugh Jackson has brought, and why, as we'll air later in the show, listening to Sashi Brown as we talk about the draft, he references the big hit thus far this offseason has been the hiring of Hugh Jackson.
Absolutely, and you like to see kind of what's going on out there. For those asking about the quarterbacks, RG3 is going to have to earn it, but I think he's going to end up being the starter on day one. I think one of the people who was, depending on your perspective, but a winner from the trade yesterday, I think it really pretty much solidifies Josh McCown's spot on this roster, because you're not going to be bringing in a premier quarterback that's going to play right away. It's going to be somebody that, if you do draft a quarterback, likely to be slightly more developmental. So I think that'll keep Josh McCown here, which is he's a great guy. There's a lot of camaraderie right now amongst this team. Obviously, it is very early, but this is a team that certainly looks like there's energy there. I don't know what the final result will be, but I know that there's energy, there's coaching, and I think that they're going to get the most out of what they have when they're on the field. As for RG3, you can see the immense amount of talent, and he is being coached up and hard and often by both Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton, really drilling him on the fundamentals, his weight transfer when throwing the football, talking through the reads and the progressions on every throw that he's making. He threw some very nice balls today. And and today's practice, Duke Johnson really was a factor in the passing game.
He was featured. He really was.
Featured.
And to just shed a light, and you and I talked about this, Hugh Jackson has a system that he ran in Cincinnati and was very successful with the past few years. Pep Hamilton was the offensive coordinator, you know, fired midseason by Indianapolis, had been out at Stanford, so he knows a lot about Andrew Luck and probably customized a lot for a guy like Andrew Luck. Now, RG3 is not Andrew Luck, okay? And I guess RG3 is not Andy Dalton. And what I love seeing out on the football field is the merging of great offensive minds in Pep Hamilton and Hugh Jackson. And what even screams more so to me, and this is where, you know, the development of the players and learning the playbook and understanding it like the back of their hand, is Pep Hamilton's grind of an offseason that it must have been to forget all of what he created in Indianapolis and Stanford and what he was accustomed to and learn Hugh's system so much so to be able to go out there and take the lead in some cases. And we saw that as they were doing a red zone drill. And RG3, you know, missed a read left, took his eyes back right, and it was a little late with his eyes coming back right and didn't want to throw a contested football. And just kind of bought time, and then, you know, kind of threw the play to Duke that he caught, you know, but he was out of bounds, of course. And it was, and Pep was high-pitched, vocal, loud enough for us to hear it from 25 yards away, and exactly what he said. Took the bull by the horns and just said, dude, no, stay left, take what the defense gives you, or throw that thing through the end zone.
Right, it was
don't
the red
come
zone.
Back right.
Right.
You know? And then after he makes his comment, Pep then goes back to his play sheet to be able to call the next play, and that's where Hugh, a few tones down of voice, gives him what he's saying is blah, 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 in this scenario because of X, Y, Z, you know? And it's just many voices of reason with a lot of NFL experience are going to be in the heads of these quarterbacks, which is only going to be a very good thing for the Browns.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it comes down to the philosophy. It's either touchdown, check down, or get down. Get rid of it.
Correct, 100%.
Get rid of the ball. That's
and that has to
zone.
Be the mentality.
Right. And you know, when you're a guy like RG3, your natural inclination is probably to extend the play and try to figure out.
And you could see it. It would have been a scenario where RG3 would have ran up the middle, but he took that step, almost took like a 45-degree step back, and elongated that play. It just happened to be on the wrong side of the field.
Right.
And then forced a throw, which would have been a completion had it been in bounds.
So I think that you'll see when you guys come out to training camp this year and get to see it, it is going to be drastically different. I mean, my knowledge of being, you know, I would call it intimate with the football team and their practices and their habits, et cetera, is limited to the last 4 years. So it's limited to Rob Chudzinski, accounting this year as being the fourth, limited to Rob Chudzinski's first year and then the 2 years with Mike Pettine and now. It is a night and day difference. I don't know if it's better. It seems better. I mean, you're a player, so you, I think, would be able to comment more effectively on that. But it certainly seems more engaged, more energetic, more focused, and more, it seems like they're actually working with a purpose, like taking a step toward something as
Correct.
Opposed to just going through the motions.
Now, having been a player, if you still want the tempo, you still want the efficiency, things should get clean by the end of August when things get real in September. And at that point, if there's the continued conversation in between, there's always going to be conversation because you're never doing things perfect. It's
right.
never good enough, you know. But if there's the intensity, some of that could come across as being overcoached, where it's a little too much. And I think that's the fine line. But at this point right now, it's pedal to the metal for Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton to force feed these guys what they've given them via the playbook and want to see it on film. Because they get these three days, and then they're gonna take a little break. Then he comes back for OTAs. They want to see more. They're going to have him chew on more. And I think Hugh Jackson really wants to understand what he's got.
Yeah.
By the time training camp really rolls around, because as Sashi Brown said this morning, the 66, 67 guys that we have, they're being evaluated. And all you're going to add another 23 via the draft, and then it's going to be go time.
Then it will be go time for the Cleveland Browns, and we'll see what kind of preparation, see the talent that is there as well. But absolutely just a different feel, and I'm excited for people to be able to get out there and see the way that Hugh Jackson operates. And, I mean, when you go out there, it's hard not to get excited when you see Al Saunders, who I'm an unabashed Al Saunders fan. He has won me over. He's one of my favorite guys in this building. When you see him out there at 70 years old, been coaching the league 40 years, running, sprinting 30 yards after receivers, you know, getting behind them, firing them up before the route, coaching them through it, coaching them up after the route, loving them up. He had a great line where he told, I know you have the one with Terrell Pryor, but there was another one where a guy didn't do exactly what he goes, step into my office, and then puts his arm around him and coaching him up. And you can just see that people are responding well to him. And it certainly is. It's good to see the way that these guys are coaching and being approached, especially because it is a young team. I think having that
veteran experience.
That's love. Yeah. They're loving them up a little bit.
They're loving them up. They're building them up because that's how players get bought in. There's something to be said about playing for a coach, but there's something to be said about I love playing for that coach for these reasons. And I think that relationship is being developed and nurtured right now.
Yes, it is. By the way, obviously we've all had a day to sit with this trade, and I still think it's good.
I still like it.
I love it. Knowing Goff is off the board. If Goff wasn't off the board, I still think they might have made the trade, but I would not have liked it as much. With Goff off the board, at the end of the day, I don't think you can say they got a bad deal. They got a good deal. At the end of the day, I think those people who would be against it would disagree clearly with the evaluation of Carson Wentz by the Cleveland Browns. That's it. But again, that trade's there. They've turned one, as Sashi Brown said earlier, and we'll hear his full press conference today. I like betting on four players rather than one, and that's what the Cleveland Browns are doing.
That was my favorite line of the entire press conference.
It was. That was the best one. And that's the rationale. You're saying, I can have one player, or I can have two first-rounders, a second-rounder, and a third-rounder.
Well, even to go, you can talk Vegas, and you can talk analytics in sports, okay? And it's, there is no sure thing in the first round, and we can see that. We know that very well here in Cleveland, okay? There are many other teams, the San Diego Chargers via, you know, with Ryan Leaf and, you know, and Rick Meyer and the other quarterbacks that were can't-miss, sure-thing, home-run franchise quarterbacks that don't work out. And then there's the names that have. I just love that. What's the percentage that you hit when you have one pick, and what's the percentage that you hit when you have four?
Well, if you hit 50% with four, you're going to have twice as many good players if you bat 100% with one.
Thank you. And what are the odds that you hit 100% with one?
Unfortunately.
In the first round, it's what, 60%?
Yeah, probably.
60%.
Should be.
So you have a 60% chance that you hit 100% with your one pick. Crunch those numbers.
Crunch them. Again, if it comes down, I think a lot of it to the evaluation. Sure, definitely makes sense. All right, when we come back, we'll open up the phone lines. More trade reaction, your reaction to maybe what you heard us say about camp. I really am eager for everybody to get to see it because it is not something – this one will be very easy that we're just alerting you to it. This is not a bias or a spin. It's just obvious when you're out
and by
there.
Then
and everybody's saying it.
The renovations will be done. The building's looking beautiful. That was my first chance to see the backside of the building.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet out there. Absolutely. 216-578-0850. And by the way, this day – started off bad, and it's gotten worse. Chyna, the former WWE diva, she passed away this morning, and now,
more tragedy,
Prince, the icon, the rock legend, has passed away today as well.
I don't know how to take your reactions from this point further from what you see on Twitter, because your reaction to Prince passing away, without knowing that he had passed away, I thought we had traded back to, our first-round pick. We're back to number one. It could have been any number of things just minutes before the show kicked off today.
Yeah, it was kind of like shocked me, honestly. I was a big Prince fan. I mean, I am a big Prince fan. Dino, would you not say one of the top five, if not top 10 for sure, but probably one of the top five music icons of all time?
Sure. Oh, yeah. And, I mean, influence, chart success, And every measurable there is, you know, you have to put him up there. I just tweeted out, guys, worst year ever. I mean, because I was a huge Eagles fan, losing Glenn Frey, losing David Bowie. I mean, and now Prince, Maurice White has died. Natalie Cole
has
died. What's
your guy's name from that band that I never listened to?
What's
Lemmy?
His name?
Lemmy.
Lemmy from Motorhead.
Yeah.
Paul Kantner from Jefferson Airplane. I mean, just really, really tough year.
Brutal, man. Yeah, that one kind of like stunned me a little bit. That was a little 57 years
57.
Old for Prince.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, very sad. All right, we'll be back with more Clint Browns Daily right after this.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns Daily, Nathan Segura and Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Little Prince. Good choice there, Dino.
Oh, yeah. I got to say, one thing with Prince, he made it very difficult to get songs off YouTube. He was a stickler about not having his music out there for free.
He's smart.
No, that's right. Very smart.
Yeah, I don't blame him. It's just... people want to get that free music. Or
but don't you think you just headed in another direction?
What's this?
You search for only so long. I'm not saying, again, Free Willies, I love my Free Willies, but I'm saying if I search multiple sources for a song and can't find either the version or the song that I want, I just head in another direction. I go to do it to a different artist or a different singer or whatever it is. Like, I don't need Prince that bad in my life that you're going to make me pay $1.29 for my one Prince song.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Let's open up the phone lines. 216-578-0850. 216-578-0850. We got anybody yet, Dino?
People? Yeah, our buddy Cam from Canada is up first.
Cam, what's up, Cam?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, man. Cam, so I know were you pretty fired up yesterday?
I'm really fired up. Everything these guys are touching is turning to gold right now. And then to hear about training camp.
Cam, I love you.
Yeah, I mean it sincerely. And, you know, these guys, you know, you can get excited about things for the sake of it. But, I mean, how much more could we have possibly gotten out of that pick yesterday? And I feel really bad, though, because it would have been really fun to watch Wentz or watch Goff. But I think people are losing sight of the fact that we have Robert Griffin III. And we have Josh McCown for this year. And we also have Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton. So I like that we still have some hope for this year. What are we going to do at 8? Is Zeke going to be there at 8? And if Zeke is there, do we take him?
I would bet if Zeke is there at 8 that the Miami Dolphins will be trying to give us a lot of assets to get there.
Yeah, Zeke is a guy, to me, somebody asked me last night on Twitter, what do you think about Zeke? And I said, Zeke's a guy I don't think we can pass up because going with a receiver or someone explosive, which really doesn't exist right now, is one thing if there's someone real high-end there. But Zeke could give us kind of that St. Louis Rams mentality of building a strong defense and then going with the ground game. The other question I was going to ask you is, do you guys think that there's any possibility that we're going to package some of these picks to grab some players? I mean, at some point in time, do we not want guys in their second year of their first contract or first and second year of their second contract?
It's tough to get those people via trade. So I don't think I would be surprised if the Browns took a running back in the top 10, so that I would be surprised if they took Ezekiel Elliott. Now, they very well may. I think that it's more likely that if the Browns stay at 8, they get a premier defender or they move back again, and that's the point where getting a premier wide receiver certainly comes into play, because at that point, you could trade back into the teens, and then Josh Dotson becomes an appealing prospect for you there to come in and be that receiver. You need to get somebody to help these guys. You need somebody to help, whether it be RG3, whether it be Josh McCown. You need somebody to help these quarterbacks. So I think that that would be more likely than them taking a running back in round number 1. All right, we're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, we are going to have the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, the leader of the Hugh World Order, right here, live in the Dog Bowl on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Very happy to be joined by the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, live in studio. Coach, thanks for joining us today. How does it feel, voluntary minicamp is done, to actually get out there and be coaching football for the first time with the Cleveland Browns?
It felt extremely good. You know, sometimes you pinch yourself and you look back at the building while you stand out there and it says Cleveland Browns. You know, to be the head coach and to have the trust of these men and the organization, and obviously, you know, with our coaching staff, it feels really good. But we all recognize and understand we have a lot of work to do, but I was very excited about the start of our players for 3 days.
So leaving the 3 days, there's got to be a sense of accomplishment to see the guys take what they've learned in the classroom and apply it on the football field, because that's what this profession really entails.
Mm-hmm. You said it. I mean, our guys for the first 2 weeks spent a lot of time in the weight room and also in the classroom. And then to be able to go out on the football field, which is truly what we do, and test that, you know, and put it into action, I thought our guys did a really good job.
What is your philosophy as a head coach in terms of how you want to run a practice and be involved yourself?
Well, we're going to move fast.
Yes.
You know, we have a purpose to everything we do. You know, we're very detailed, very organized. And at the same time, I feel like I need to be involved where I should be. And I know where I should be and where I shouldn't be at the same time. So it's been a lot of fun. And I always tell our coaches, allow me the opportunity if I want to jump into a particular drill or something, allow me a chance to do that, because it keeps me so connected. And that's what I like to do, and that's what I'm going to continue to do. But at the same time, I have a tremendous staff who've done a great job of preparing these men and getting them ready to play, to practice, I should say, and they've done a good job.
What has been your perception of the response to your style from the players?
Well, they would have to tell you that. I mean, but I think our players are pleasantly surprised, because it's an environment I think they enjoy coming here to work first and foremost, whether it be in the classroom or the weight room, because I think Adam Beer has done a great job in the weight room as well with his staff. But then it trickles out to the football field, because we want to be a group that's you know, enthusiastic about what we do, and that we go out there with a purpose and we go accomplish what the daily goal is. And I think, like I said, for 3 days, the guys have done that, and I would hope that our players can see and understand that if we continue to work each and every day and put our head down and don't get distracted by things, that we have a chance to do what we ultimately want to do.
And, Coach, you kind of talked about it, the staff that you've put together. Now, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns has to have some edge, and as you said, you can take over essentially or make the call on whatever you want to do, but there's got to be some comfort in the staff that allows you to step away and just as the players are professionals, so are your coaches.
Absolutely.
And the storied, you know, history that they have as coaches in the National Football League, to allow them to start molding and you're just kind of looking down on them and interjecting here and there, mm-hmm. has got to be a sense of comfort for you to know that this is just, again, you've done a great job putting the staff together, and they're as big a piece of the puzzle as you are as a head coach.
There's no question. They're sometimes even a bigger piece of the puzzle. You know, again, I mean, I could go on and on about our staff. There's so many of these guys who are so good at what they do. You know, obviously the leaders of offense, which is obviously Pep Hamilton and Kirby and Al Saunders. I mean, those guys are as good as anybody in the National Football League. And then you look at defense, Ray Horton, who in my opinion should be a head coach and is as good as any defensive coordinator in the National Football League, and the staff that he has, and Chris Tabor, who's been here. You know, so those guys have done a great job, again, of preparing our football team. My job is to create the environment and to push, like you said, where I need to, and try to push the right buttons at the right time. And, again, but the staff has done a great job.
Are we going to get a GPS tracker on Al Saunders? Because I think he's running. He might be running as much as anybody
he's
on that field.
Fitbit out there.
He's amazing.
Amazing.
He's one of the best coaches I've ever been around, and that's why he's here. You know, at the same time, he was with me in Oakland.
Yep.
And I know what he brought to our football team there, and he's one of the first calls I made when I got the job here.
Coach, let's talk about the quarterbacks. I noticed you and Pep Hamilton, very hands-on, focused as much on the technique as the progressions and the concepts. Mm-hmm. What is your philosophy with those guys, and what have you seen in terms of response from Robert, Josh, Connor, and Austin?
All four of those guys have been outstanding. You know, they've really engaged and really jumped all in the process of trying to understand how we want that position to play. They've been outstanding, the players have, first of all. Pep is as good as anybody I've ever been around, you know, and again, that's why he's here. You know, and I feel very comfortable that when I need to run over the defense and be involved and put put my emphasis there that he has these guys ready to play. Obviously, he's coached one of the best ones in all the National Football League, so I feel very comfortable with what he's doing. But, again, everything that I think our coaches would tell you is that we're really impressed with our players because they've dove all in. You know, they're all in right now. And, again, we haven't played a game, and we understand that. It's been three practices. But we just keep talking about stacking good days on top of each other. If we can continue to do that, then we think we'll have a chance. It doesn't mean we'll win this or win that. We just all we want is an opportunity and a chance, and that's all we're going to focus on.
Any players in particular that have stood out to you or been pleasant surprises for you?
You know, Nathan, obviously I think our whole team has for me. You know, as the head coach, anytime you can get a group to really buy in and work hard and push and really push the envelope and do the things that I've asked them to do, then you feel really good. So it's hard just to say one player. I'm really excited about the group as a whole. I'm really excited about our football team and what we can do if we'll continue to work and just put our head down.
Coach, you've been a head coach before. Do you have expectations of the next step, the next small building blocks coming out of OTAs on kind of where you want this team to be, you know, before that last veteran mini camp and of course the break before training camp gets rolling?
Absolutely. I've told them, you know, just this morning that our goal is obviously we've been in a, you know, there's 2 weeks in phase one. Now we've had the voluntary mini camp. Now the next step is for us to phase two. We get to go back and break down some of the things we did in the mini camp and reteach them in a different tempo, you know, out on the field starting next week. So it's not like starting over. It's really I'm expecting us to take the next jump as far as understanding our offense and defense and special team schemes. And hopefully whatever mistakes we made, you know, in this three-day minicamp, that we erase those. Because in order to be as good as we want to be, we know we got to play mistake-free football.
All right, let's talk about the other thing that may have happened yesterday, a big trade for the Cleveland Browns. Uh-huh. Your thoughts on that?
Excited about it. I'm very happy and excited about Sashi and his staff and what they were able to accomplish. You know, it gives us a chance to get our football team better. We have a lot of picks, and I'm really excited about starting next Thursday the young men that we can add to this football team because we're going to have a chance to put some really good players on our team.
How involved were you in that process saying, you know, hey, maybe I love this quarterback or no, you know, let's do what's best for the organization? How involved are you kind of in this draft bringing players in who will thrive in your system?
You know, obviously Sashi has the final say, but he's been outstanding. I mean, he takes input from everybody, you know, Paul and Andrew and myself. We've spent a lot of hours here, you know, over the weekend talking about what we think is best. And Sashi is really good at really thinking through things and then making decisions at the end that are best for the organization. And we've all said from the beginning it's been a collaborative effort, and it has been. I'd be the first to tell you that. I mean, we've done everything kind of hand in hand, but he's been the leader of it, and he's done an outstanding job.
All right, Coach, I know you got to run. So one word to describe what you thought came out of this mini camp.
It's hard to sum it up in one word, but the one thing I will tell you is I think our players are really, truly starting to understand what it takes to win because that's all we talk about. You know, at the end of the day, that's what we're here for. We're here to win, and I don't know how fast that's going to happen or when it's going to happen, but I do know this. If you don't work to win, you have no chance to win, and that's what we're trying to do is work to win.
Coach, thank you so much for the time and appreciate you here and being with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Thank you very much.
All right, folks, there was your head coach of the Cleveland Browns and the leader of the Hugh World Order, Hugh Jackson, with us here in the Dog Bowl. And Bria, we'll take a quick break, reset, reload. We'll get the phone lines going, 216-578-0850. We will hear also Josh McCown, RG3. That's all coming up right after this.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR. Zagura Wilhelm will take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Coming up, we will hear from Josh McCown. And as soon as he comes to the podium, we will carry RG3's press conference live for you on the show. Also, we'll hear from Sashi Brown earlier today. Again, I think the team is making some positive steps. Do they have a long way to go? Absolutely. Nobody's saying Super Bowl playoffs. This is a team that right now is trying to figure out how to compete and win some games. What I do believe, though, is that Hugh Jackson and his staff will get the best out of the talent provided to him, whereas I don't know that that necessarily has happened in the past.
I agree with that statement, and as you try to have Hugh sum things up in one word, what he left us with was, you know, you practice to win gives you an opportunity to win, right? And as I say, both on this show and, you know, to the civilians out there that always consistently ask me about the Browns, you know, A, because I'm a professional football player and played in the NFL, and B, highly connected to the Browns doing this show, I always just tell them, if you can put a product out on the football field that gives you a 50-50 mentality, because there's going to be more talented, more veteran-laden football teams with franchise quarterbacks and playmakers out the wazoo that have been doing this for a very long time with the same coach for a decade, right?
Yeah.
That you're going to say, odds are not in our favor, okay? But we've got a young team that's going to, again, eliminate a lot of mistakes, not make a lot of mistakes, because their margin for error on this football team because of some of our inadequacies is very small. You make up for that in effort. You make up for that in not making a lot of mistakes. Is give this fan base an opportunity to show up to First Energy Stadium 8 times and have a 50-50 mentality where we can beat the Ravens at home. We can beat the Steelers at home. We can beat the Bengals at home. You know, give us that 50. And I promise this fan base will deliver. It's that end of November, late December, this schedule more than ever, do we need this fan base? Because that might be the time that Hugh finally has his team primed to make a run. Now, it might be a meaningless run because we're mathematically out of the playoffs, but this fan base to provide them in football games with support and love so they can actually go out and showcase their ability late in the season at home and prove to this fan base that Hugh and this group has worked extremely hard and they deserve that love. Otherwise, yeah, You'll still show up to empty orange seats.
This is right. Step by step, brick by brick, you got to build the foundation of this thing right now. As our man Al Saunders doesn't look like a guy who's been running 400 yards out there today.
He showered already.
Fired
too.
Up. He showered. He's ready to
fresh.
Go. Very fresh. We're going to go back to the phone lines 216-578-0850. Emmett in Meadville. Emmett, welcome.
Emmett, you there?
Emmett.
Oh.
Emmett, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, man.
Hey, that coach just blows my mind. I don't think we've had a coach that impressive in a long time, to be honest. I think I'd want to pad up for him and hit the field running, to be honest. I have two questions for you. One is, do you see us in play picking up that corner from North Carolina, Norman?
I don't think so. No. When you think about his age and his price, I don't think that's where the Browns are at right now.
Okay, because they've yet to make a splash. That's why I was wondering if they'd make a splash in that direction. Two is McCowan. Do you think he'd be worthy of a trade? Maybe to try to get a decent wide receiver that we're lacking, just to help us out with the draft.
I think that it is certainly possible that. That could be if a team like Denver, the Jets, can't figure out their situation and want to go with it. But what I'm happy about is I believe right now I think that he's going to be here. And I'm a huge Josh McCown fan as a human being, and I think that he's a guy that certainly has a place here in this room and can help out certainly RG3 and his development and provide another good option if you need him there. Let's go for Dan in Hershey now. Dan.
Guys.
How you doing, man?
Good. Boy, there was a disco song by Esker Phillips called What a Difference a Day Makes. Should be our theme song for today, man. Wow.
Yeah.
Next Thursday is going to be the best reality TV going.
That's right.
You know, it's
non-scripted.
Like, wow. You know, because, I guess my question to you guys is, you know, I have my own ideas on this, but what would be the best person to fall to us at 8? But I'm kind of with you in that I think it would be great if there's somebody that wants to come up to 8, you know, where we can still stay within the top 20 and pick up an edge rusher or a receiver.
Receiver.
Yeah, you
I
know,
really
one of those
think,
two guys.
I really believe that one of the reasons, and Sashi said it many times, how attractive 8 was, is that if the Browns don't get an offer to their liking to move out of 8, they will get a very, very good football player. If they are there and somebody wants to come up, they should get a very, very attractive offer to move back again. Not very much. And if you're the Browns, the way this draft's falling, you could move back twice, pick up, you know, maybe 2-3 more picks, another 2, another 3, a future 1, a future 2, whatever, and still get the number one wide receiver on your board.
Yeah, the one feeling that I still have, being at 8, and, you know, I'm an optimist, and I understand, and everybody points it out, you know, that we're paid by the Cleveland Browns. I'm in favor of the trade that happened yesterday. It all depends how things fall in front of us. Essentially, we have a top 6 pick. We have the 6th pick in the draft because of the two quarterbacks going 1-2.
Sure.
I kind of feel, and I said this yesterday, feel like 8 is no man's land. Because we're going to take, you know, we could potentially do best player available or potentially move back again. It's like we're in no man's land. And I don't like that feeling. I feel at 8 you're going to get a great player. Okay?
Yes.
I don't like that. I personally can't put my finger on who that player is.
I think when you look at the board, right? Let's look at the big board of this draft right now. Who is likely to be on the board at number 8? Okay? I think this is how I have the sense that I get that it's going to go now. Okay, so 1 and 2, the quarterbacks are gone. So that's Goff and Wentz. Number 3, probably Laremy Tunsil. Number 4 could be Elliott, Bosa, or Ramsey.
Yep.
Number 5 is probably Bosa
or Ramsey.
Ramsey or DeForest Buckner.
Correct.
Number 6 would be Baltimore. I'm guessing that is either going to be a trade out by the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
Or it is going to be, again, Buckner, Bosa, Ramsey, maybe Jack.
Right.
The 49ers, I don't think Buckner would get past the 49ers. Jack is in play. Again, you don't know what Jack's medicals are. That's the thing that nobody, no fan is going to have any appreciation of what his medicals are. If it
correct.
Goes on, you know, if he slides, you'll know that a lot of teams were just completely freaked out.
And here's my point. The limbo that you just had Jack enter the conversation at 6 and 7 for Baltimore on a trade up or 7 for the San Francisco 49ers. And even your tone of voice change, you're like, and that's happening at 6 and 7, and we're right behind that. You know what I mean? And that's where that no man land feeling kind of comes into play for me.
Well,
you know, it's like, well, do we do this or do we do that? Or we could do this or we could do that. And it's like, are we ready now? We were ready at 2. Very clearly by making this trade and Sashi, you know, edifying the point that it's been weeks in the making. Are we now ready for the analytics and the football side of things to happen now sitting at 8?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, you're guaranteed,
right?
A lot
more things at play.
Let's say that Miles Jack's evaluations are okay. You're guaranteed one of Tunsil, Jack, Ramsey, Bosa, Elliott, or Buckner.
Correct.
Okay. Let's say that his evaluations are not okay. So who does that then bump up? Ronnie Stanley is considered by many to be
and
almost as good as Tunsil as an offensive tackle.
And linked to San Francisco in many mock drafts.
So if he jumps in there, that changes it. If somebody panics and jumps in the top 7 to take Paxton Lynch, that pushes people back. So you're in a good spot there. And even if you moved back a little bit again, you're certainly in the range where maybe a William Jackson, if you decide to go corner, you have an opportunity to get Josh Doctson, who would probably be the number one receiver on your board. You have an there are a lot of guys in that middle range that are still very, very good players where you could get help rushing the passer, protecting the passer, playmakers, which I want a playmaker early.
excuse me. I feel like if I could rewind, I'd love to have 12 and 20 or 12 and 22, whatever we had last year in this year's draft, as opposed to last year's draft. And that's no offense to Danny Shelton or Cam Irving. I just feel, as you've pointed out, 15 to 45 are mixed opinions on all the players that fit in that 30-pick gap. And I'd like to have 2 swings in that gap.
Yep. Yes, I don't believe they're going to get 1. I don't think they're going to be able to get 2 swings in this draft.
But that's why Miami, if Ezekiel Elliott's on the board at 8.
What about Darren Lee?
For us?
Yeah.
I think he's a 4-3 will linebacker.
So he'd be too much like Kirksey for
Correct.
Us.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
And I almost feel like Miles Jack is not a 4-3 will. He's a 3-4 weak inside linebacker, which is Christian Kirksey. So then do you find, as we kind of talked to, or I talked to you slightly off air about, you know, Kirksey's finally ready to rise. We had him in the Dog Bowl. He's loving, you know, the atmosphere and growing into that role in his third year where he should take off and be a full-time starter. And you draft a guy at 8, and you create competition. You want to get immediate impact out of number 8. A, does he flat-out beat Kirksey? Or are we back in the scenario where our weak inside linebackers are now specialty players splitting downs as we have with Robertson and Kirksey in the past 3 years? Or 2 years, sorry.
Let's go to our guy, Blanca in Bay Village, before we get RG3 live at the podium. Blanca.
Nathan, Matthew, happy Thursday, gentlemen.
Happy Thursday to you, Blanca.
A quick comment and then a music question for Matthew there, if he has a second.
Who's Matthew?
I love Mr. Wilhelm. I'm sorry.
No, Matt.
Yes, I like sir. Matthew. I like the formality,
mother.
Blanca.
Only my mother.
I like it.
It's a music question. We got to be formal.
Yes.
Okay. Listening to Hugh say, "We want to win," put it on a T-shirt. You found your leader. The culture is changing. No matter who we get with the 8th pick, we're going to get a starter, I think 70%+ of the time. Love the direction. It's exactly what the Browns need to do.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And I think, and I know that in the sense of football, of course, as Hugh pointed out, it's about winning. You're judged on whether you win or lose. But if you look at in different arenas in the world, okay, and if you're hit over the head with winning and winning and winning and doing the right thing and doing things a certain way enough, it becomes in your DNA. You change your DNA. It's flowing through your body that you dream about winning, you know, and I think that's the one thing that has evaded some of the players that have donned a Cleveland Browns uniform. It was, I'm a professional athlete. I'm playing in the NFL, and I'm partaking with the Cleveland Browns until I go somewhere else. That Hugh Jackson and the Hugh World Order is about ingraining the winning in you to the point where it's like you're chasing it as if a pit bull is chasing you.
Yep.
And that is something, that's a changing of the guard, a significant changing of the guard from Mike Pettine and Rob Chudzinski. And, you know, to, I guess to their fault, yes, but if they didn't steer the ship in the right direction to chase winning.
Yeah, and I think it's a guy who's been around winning a lot. It's a guy who's been a head coach in the NFL before. It's a guy whose staff has that kind of experience that a Brown staff, frankly, has not had before.
Yeah, and I think to your point, and we didn't really get to touch on it, you know, in the 9 minutes we had with Hugh, but Hugh's going to feel, and I know it's all going to come down to winning and losing on Sundays in September through January, but Hugh's going to be able to feel, having been a head coach, having been in successful buildings before, when it's being grasped by both the players and coaches in unison at the same time, and he's going to go, we're really close. That could be this year, as he said. That could be next year. That could be year 3.
But as long as you're taking steps on that road.
Correct.
That's the key.
Correct. And having been there before, I could actually tell that an 8-8 San Diego Charger season from a 14-2 year. You can feel the difference. Things are falling through the cracks on that 8-8 team that were not taken for granted by the 14-2 team.
Most definitely. And that's a big difference. That's the
details. The difference.
Yep.
That's absolutely winning and losing.
Steve in North Carolina, welcome.
Drummond, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Got a question and a statement, then I'll take your answer off the air.
Sure, go ahead.
As I was holding, Matt took some of my thunder out of liking.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We'll see where that goes.
Crack that thunder again.
So I asked you guys on Twitter off the air, and I hope it's not redundant. Give me your top three choices at number 8. Mine are Miles Jack, Darren Lee, and then one of the big wide receivers, either the Mississippi kid or the TCU kid. And Miles Jack, and that information as far as his knee, I find a little ironic, and I don't know if this means anything of anything, that Hugh and Miles Jack's agent are the same. I'm not saying anything there, but hopefully maybe we could get some insider intel. And I've been doing some research and hearing that the Prescott kid out of Mississippi State is a lot like RG3, but a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger, so I want to get your thoughts on him. And again, y'all have a great day.
Okay. I'll start. I'll go first. So my top at number eight, the first guy that I'd want would be DeForest Buckner, the defensive end out of Oregon. I think he just fits the 3-4 very well for you. That would be my top choice. My second choice would be Jalen Ramsey. I don't think he will be there. My third choice would be to trade back at that point. Unless Miles Jack's knee checks out, then I'm fine with it. I think Ezekiel Elliott is that good. I feel pretty good about our running backs right now. That's just me personally. I feel like that is of all the areas that that's one area that I feel like we're actually functional.
I actually believe as much as I love Ezekiel Elliott and I feel like besides a quarterback might be the surest thing in this draft, I almost feel bringing that franchise-type player being drafted as high as Ezekiel Elliott would be as a top 10 pick would muddle and actually potentially stagnate growth out of Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell. By interjecting,
well, I think it would eliminate Crow.
And it won't eliminate him. I mean, he's going to be, but his role, yes. Because I think until, you know, a guy like Elliott shows it in a game setting, a preseason game, that he can handle it, he'll show that he can handle it in practice. Can he handle it in the game? Does that all transfer, as we heard today from Coach Jackson? But I think it would deter the growth of that room by interjecting such a strong player who's so well-rounded.
I think that I think it would change things, absolutely. I will say this for the quarterbacks, Dak Prescott is interesting to me. The guy that now I want would be Connor Cook.
I don't want Connor Cook.
Because of the way that he...
Because of...
The leadership issues.
Correct.
Yeah.
I don't
That's
got to
be something that they've checked out.
I don't want that personality around RG3. I don't think Josh McCown's a great man, a great leader, but I don't think Josh McCown at 36 wants to babysit a Connor Cook.
Yeah.
I'll do it on the football field, but those off-the-field things, I don't got time for that. Josh has got a wife and kids, you know, and his own professional career.
As far as I'm concerned, RG3, I'm looking at him as our high pick, high upside rookie quarterback this year.
100%.
That's how I'm looking at him, and hopefully we can get something out of him. I can tell you this. He is going through every single rep on the practice field. If he's taking the snap or not, the mental rep, the progressions, when he is taking it, he takes command. He is going to work as hard as he can, and he's got Hugh Jackson, Pep Hamilton trying to get the best out of him. His talent, when you come out and see him in person, is undeniable. Physical gifts, they are undeniable. And RG3 is walking the podium. We will take that live right now.
Hello. How you guys doing? Great. My voice is a little scratchy, but good. Great.
Do you feel any more secure about your position given the trade that took place yesterday?
No, you know, just focused on what we can control as players in that locker room. So we don't really worry about those things. And, you know, everybody's here to earn a job. Only person that doesn't have to really earn it is Joe Thomas. And, you know, he's got 9 Pro Bowls to speak to that.
How do you think you threw the ball at minicamp?
You know, I feel like we all went out there, got better. It was good to just get out there with the team and, you know, see how receivers run routes and learn their body language. So I felt like that was really good.
Does it send to you and the other quarterbacks on this trade that they believe in the guys? What does that say? What does the message say?
No, I mean, like I said, don't really worry about it. You just focus on what's at hand each day, conquering each day, getting better, and you know, learn the language that we're speaking on offense and be able to go out there and execute it.
Franchise quarterback, kind of a overused phrase. I mean, is it something that's maybe unfair to throw at guys, especially ones early in their career?
No, I've learned to not worry about those things anymore. And everyone's going to have their tags and what they call you, what they think you can and can't do. And your job is to go out and win games, not to worry about those tags. So I feel like we're moving in the right direction as far as that goes of being an efficient offense and team and really coming together.
Much in 2016. What are your first impressions now that you've spent a whole mini camp?
There's a lot of talent out there, that's for sure. And, you know, it's really good. I feel like the offensive line's done a great job getting to the ball, getting in out of the huddle, making the calls, and it was really fun to see those big boys run around and then see our defense fly around and get to the ball. And, you know, the effort and the motivation is definitely there.
Robert, can you talk about what it's been like for you to go from being that guy in 2012 when everything seemed to be going so good for you to not being that guy, at least right now?
No, I mean, you're always that guy in your mind. So, you know, every time you step out there as a quarterback, you have to have confidence, not only in yourself, but the guys around you. And the way you do that is you practice hard every single day. You know, every throw, every rep is a Super Bowl, and that's the way we're going to work. That's the mindset that Hugh has instilled into us. So that's what we're going to do.
I mean, did you come in and expect to be the starter week one? And does it bother you at all when Hugh and Sasha say that you have to earn it and kind of include you with the other guys in the room?
It does not bother me at all, because everything that you obtain in this world is earned. It's not given. So, you know, throughout my career, I've earned everything that I've gotten. And when things didn't work out, it was my fault. So you take ownership of that. And, you know, we as quarterbacks know in that room, the stronger we are as a group, the better this football team is going to be. So we're all in there trying to help each other, all competing for one spot. And I respect those guys.
You have a fairly clear concept of what Hugh's offense is and how that is going to apply to you? Is it still a million miles away to have that concept?
Yeah, I mean, it was our first mini camp, 3 days of practice. They threw the kitchen sink at us with everything that we were doing. I even got into situational football a little bit. So it was good to see the guys and see what really, you know, stuck. You throw it all on the board and see what sticks. And I don't think any of us could make an assumption of what our offense is going to be exactly like. But I do think we got an introduction to what Coach Hughes and Peps, what their coaching style is going to be and what they emphasize. So I think that was really important, and we got that out of the 3 days. A lot of energy, you know, very demanding coach, and that's what you want. You know, they demand perfection. If you break the huddle the wrong way, then you're going to re-huddle. And it's an expectation that the players have to take ownership of, and we will.
Working alongside Josh McCown for at least how many ever weeks so far, how has he already made you a better quarterback?
You know, Josh has got a lot of experience. You know, he played with Jeff Blake. Jeff Blake. I know Jeff, but God, Jeff Blake, Josh's been around the block a couple times, and it's really good to just hear his wisdom. And, like you said, you just got to focus on what's at hand today. And it's good to have a guy like that around and learn from him. Like I said, I don't know what the future holds, but he's a great guy.
What you're enjoying, this is a brand new adventure. McCurdle was in here the other day saying he's calling you Robbie. I shouldn't know what he's called.
My mom calls me Robbie, but you know.
It sounds like the guys are trying to include you, and from what he's saying, you jumped right in and part of the group.
Yeah, and I just am excited for an opportunity to have a fresh start and grow with these guys and do something special here that the fans deserve. And honestly, those guys in the locker room deserve as well. We're all professionals. We all, come from backgrounds of winning, and that's what we want to do. So to change a culture, it takes more than one person. It takes more than just the front office. It takes more than just the head coach. It takes all of us. But Coach Hugh is leading us, and the guys have bought in, and now it's about going out and making it happen. Yeah, the other quarterbacks have a little experience with TP. I hadn't had any, but he looks good out there. He's obviously a big athletic guy who can run and catch the ball. So it's our job to continue to help him refine his skills. But he's a quarterback at receiver. So you know he's going to work hard. He's going to put in the extra time. He's going to do the studying. And I think the other guys are helping him as well. Gabe and Hawk and Hart, Hartline, they're really, you know, spending time with him, teaching him the craft, and it's showing up on the field.
Did you have any association with him in the quarterback circles? You guys were about the same time. I think you maybe had one more year. Did you have any, like, run into Terrell at any events? He was obviously a big-time quarterback at Ohio State.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about the other QBs. I'm like, nah, but TP, we were the same year coming out of high school, and he you know, he was the number one rated player in the nation. I was not. So I saw a lot of TP, and, you know, we both played as freshmen, and, you know, I just have to remind him that I was the freshman All-American. And But no, he's great. We've talked before before I signed with the Browns. So you know, it's great to have him here and know that he's gonna have that mindset of a quarterback and be where he's supposed to be and try to do everything the right way.
Did the superhero figurines make the trip to Cleveland?
Yeah, they did. I just haven't had I don't have a house or anything yet, so the Incredible Hawk and all those action figures will be in the locker. Don't worry, I'm not gonna ditch those guys.
Josh Gordon, we haven't talked to you since his petition for reinstatement was denied. Now he's got until August 1st. Do you have any contact at all with Josh? And I mean, have you know, been able to help him in any way, or would you, or could you, or what's kind of the relationship there during this time?
Yeah. I don't know what to say to that. Josh's family. So I've had contact with Josh since the announcement. And he knows, I'm sure he'll see this or watch this. He knows I'm always there for him no matter what happens. But, you know, I'm rooting for him. You know, I hope he understands the situation that he's in and what's at stake. And I think he does. But it's up to him ultimately to make that decision. You cannot tell a grown man what to do. All you can do is be there for him and try to help guide him. So I've been there for him. We'll continue to be there for him. And you know, I hope he makes the right decision so he can get back in the league and show everybody what he's really made of.
How are your thoughts on the coincidence that the Redskins trade with the Rams to get to 2, the Rams go to 1 this year, the Browns give up the number 2 pick, and here you are with the Cleveland Browns?
So, yeah, a lot of ironic things happening in the league nowadays, but can't really focus on it. You know, the Rams called the Redskins stupid for doing that, and then they did it. So I don't know. I don't care, honestly. you know, whoever they're going to draft, I wish the best for that guy. And but it has been a crazy, crazy couple days in the league. Even Josh Norman with the franchise tag getting taken off, that's pretty crazy. But those are all things that you see, and then you just let them roll off your back because there's nothing that you can control about that. So just focus on what you can control and what's at stake in your building as opposed to what's going on in the other buildings.
Have you gone out to work with Tom House yet?
If I told you that, I'd have to kill you. So. Tom House has been great. It's been a really, really beneficial experience. So.
What facilitated that choice to go work with him?
You know, you want to work with guys that have worked with the greats, and you know, I'm not me personally, and every guy in that locker room. We're not working to be average or good. We want to be great. So he's worked with Brady and Breeze and a load of other guys, and they've seen success. So I wanted to take on that challenge and challenge myself to be great and try to work with a guy that knows how to make that happen. So that's why.
What is the main benefit that he provides?
You know, just the process. You know, being a NFL quarterback is not easy, but if it was easy, everyone would do it. So the process of how to take care of your body, how to take care of your arm, how to take care of your mind, and set goals each day. It sounds simple, but when you have 1,000 things that are running through your head, you know, protections, formations, plays, reads, it teaches you how to manage that And then he's just, you know, he's a guru when it comes to arm mechanics and things like that and how to keep your shoulder healthy. So all that stuff's been really, really helpful.
Will you keep that up this offseason?
Without a doubt. It's not something, it's not just a one-off thing. It's a lifestyle. So I plan on living that lifestyle.
Hey, Robert, having been in that position of a team trading up to get you at number two, does that add any more pressure knowing that teams gave up boatloads of draft picks to get a guy? And would you offer any advice to the two guys that are, you know, expected to go one and two?
No, I mean, only advice I would have is, you know, what I said with the mic drop last time was no pressure, no diamonds. It's no biggie. Just go play ball, have fun. And you can't control what they gave up to get you. All you can control is what you do when you get there. So I wish those guys the best. I don't know who it's going to be, but always rooting for guys to be successful, unless they're on defense. Then no, not if we're facing you. All right, guys. Appreciate you. God bless.
That's Browns quarterback Robert Griffin III talking to the media there today. And you know what I liked him talking about his time with Tom House and saying that it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle to be a great quarterback in the NFL. This is a guy who 4 years ago never, ever thought he would be in this position. He never thought he would be anything other than the starting quarterback for the Washington Redskins. They'd be going to playoffs. He'd be going to Pro Bowls, etc. Since that time, when he led them to the playoffs and was the NFL Rookie of the Year, it's been a disaster. This is his last opportunity. You look at the contract he signed. There was not a lot of demand for him in the National Football League.
No.
This is his opportunity to do it. And I believe he is immensely talented. He is going to do everything in his power to extract that and turn it into productivity on the field. Hugh Jackson and his staff are going to do everything they can to extract it. The question will be ultimately at the end of the day, after he's given it his best shot and the Browns have, can he do it?
Yeah, and you know what I don't like is just stupid, redundant questions, you know, that don't do anything to create diligence towards the Cleveland Browns, the player themselves. Don't waste my time. Don't make my ears bleed. Come on.
Yes, we got it.
We want them to be a pro. Be a pro. Ask a good question.
I think he handled it well. And again, I think that right, you know, when you think about it, RG3, this is his opportunity, and he's going to give the lifestyle. That's what it takes to be a great quarterback in this league, in addition to talent, and then in addition to the ability to process information. If RG3 can consistently get the ball out quickly and make the right decision with it, he's got all the physical gifts to be successful.
And you know what? And I just believe, and I'm stating this for probably the third time, it's just a matter of time, whether it was Goff or Wentz or RG3 or Josh McCown or Austin Davis. Everyone's talent is a little bit different. How they process information is a little bit different. Their arms are different. But spending time with Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton on a daily basis,
it's going to help them.
And getting passionate about winning and being your best, that individual, whoever rises above in that situation, will be fit to lead the Cleveland Browns at quarterback.
Yes, indeed. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from Sashi Brown. We'll take some of your phone calls and more on Cleveland Browns Daily.